Ibrahim Daimi radiallahu anhu said, "Whoever is not grieved and worried in this life should be fearful, lest he may be from the dwellers of hell, because those in Jannah will say, 'Alhamdulillah alladhi azhaba anna al-huzn.' All praise and gratitude is to our Lord who took away the grief from us. They would live being worried. They would say, 'We were once fearful,' while living with our families. Therefore, those who do not want to hear about matters that cause them to be fearful and only want to hear about Jannah, this is wrong, because the Islaf were fearful. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, both things, fear and hope, and both are needed. A certain amount of fear is needed to fulfill all obligations and be safeguarded from the unlawful. If there is no fear in the person, how will they fulfill the fara'is or obligations? If they have enough fear to even do extra formal worship, the nawafil, beyond the required, and then save themselves from useless matters. But not extreme fear, so much so that a person becomes ill and remains remorseful. This is not what is meant, but a certain amount of fear is necessary. But do we have any fear that at times there is no fear nor hope, nothing? Fear is a whip that will compel us to do the necessary deeds. Therefore, among other blessings, Jahannam or hell is a blessing, that which worshippers of Allah fear going into, and because of that fear, do good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Ar-Rahman, where Allah mentions His other blessings, He mentions Jahannam as a blessing. If that was not there, people would not do good. It was said by Yazid bin Khashab that I did not see anyone more fearful than Hassan al-Basri and Umar Abdul Aziz. It seemed as if hell was prepared just for them and no one else. They feared so much as they were going to hell themselves. When Hassan Basri once started crying, someone asked him what made him cry. He said, "I am fearful that I may be put in hell that day, and I don't even know in this world." Huzail said, "Once I peeked over at Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu one night, while he was in his yard. He was saying, 'Jahannam, Jahannam, when would we be set free?' It would be so fearful. But why don't we want to be fearful? Because we fear that it will take away the enjoyment in our lives. How will we have fun and will not be able to enjoy anything? We have made this world Jannah and think we are here to enjoy and have fun. If the enjoyment gets spoiled, then we would not like it. Therefore, we do not want to hear matters that cause fear. Well, fear is needed. If we do not have fear, how will we do the deeds? While our righteous predecessors would imagine themselves in hell and become fearful of his punishments." Abu Sulaiman would say, "Many times, I see that my head is between two mountains of hell, or I see myself hanging in hell until I reached its depths. Whoever thinks of Jahannam, would they be able to sleep at night? He would surely stand up in tahajjud and cry to Allah to be safe from hell." As we read in the end of Surah Ali Imran, how the righteous sought refuge from hell. Muazza Adwiya, when she got married at night, her husband's nephew had him go into a hot tub and then took him to a perfume room. He took a bath and started praying all night till morning. And then the bride did the same thing. When his nephew found out the next day, he asked, "What did you do?" He said, "Yesterday you had me go into such a place that reminded me of hell. Then I entered such a room which reminded me of Jannah, and my thoughts kept thinking of these two places until morning came as I prayed. We have fear for some time and then forget. This is natural, as man cannot stay in one condition. We see Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said about himself. He said that he had become a munafiq, or a hypocrite, as his spiritual state was different when in company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and something else when he was away from it, when he was with his wife and his kids. As this is the case in the gathering of the Quran, the condition of the heart is different. Then we are at home. So what should a person do? We should constantly listen to the Quran and its reminders, so the remembrance of Allah remains fresh. Being fearful doesn't mean having a sad, crying face, but fear is in the heart, and purpose of fear is to stay on the correct path and to sit among those who are also fearful. We cannot just hear and talk about Jannah and its pleasures and never talk about the punishments of Allah. That is not correct. Also, we can take out some time to remember Allah and contemplate about His power, about the hereafter, and how we have to give account for our deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, only those who have knowledge fear Him. Those with ilm, knowledge, know Him and recognize Him and fear Him. Therefore, we must have a relation with learning, so we can gain the necessary knowledge. So we learn the qualities of those who believe in the ayat of Allah. They are the ones who pray tahajjud, and when they get up from their beds, call on to Him with fear and hope. After having fear and hope, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, whatever Allah provides them as provisions, they spend from it. They do not hesitate from spending in the way of Allah, as when a person loves someone, doesn't keep anything from giving to them. Just as we spend on our kids, do we wish to keep all that we have to ourselves and not give to our kids? Rather, we say all that we have is for our kids. Why do we say this, despite our working hard for it? Because we love them. So one who loves Allah, then spending in His way is not difficult, because the person knows all that I have belongs to Allah. And when the man is about to spend, the shaitan hates it, and he pulls him back, tells him there is so much to do, there are other expenses, you need money for this, you need money for that. Spend and give mindfully, or give later. While spending at the time when a person fears poverty and feels when he doesn't spend will benefit him. When this is the sentiment at time of giving, this is superior form of spending. We think if we give, we will become financially tight, and if I save will benefit, then should spend. When doing good is difficult, but despite that difficulty, still do it, we get more reward. So this person spends in the way of Allah, prays tahajjud, and has fear and hope in his heart. If we think why the companions feared despite doing so much good, this is because they were fearful and lacking in their deeds. If their deeds were enough to save them from the punishments of hell, or if the deeds were even accepted, then these people are never heedless of their deeds, but keep on doing good. A person calls on to Allah with hope and fear, and realizes his mistakes, and sees his sins, and is fearful of them. He fears displeasing Allah, and is hopeful, because Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Then he, to expiate his sins, he spends in the way of Allah to please Him. We should always keep some money aside to spend in charity, and try to wake up for tahajjud. In a hadith, it is mentioned that in Jannah, special lofty towers with windows. A Bedouin asked, who are they for? The Prophet ﷺ said, they are for those who speak kindly, and they feed, and they fast regularly, and they pray tahajjud at night when people are sleeping. We see the ranks of these people near Allah. Those who pray tahajjud will be in such lofts from which the outside is visible from the inside, and the inside is visible from outside. For this we have to make an effort. This is what is bestowed for sacrificing a little sleep. If we take some time to pray tahajjud at night, we can sleep a little during the day. We can gain so much benefit, as we will not get this life again, nor be able to pray tahajjud once we leave this world. Whereas, if someone makes an offer, that if you take out a little time out at night, for example, 2 to 3 hours, you would get a free mansion. People would run to do it. And the mansion people will get in Jannah, whose outside is visible from inside, and inside is visible from outside, especially those who wake up to pray tahajjud at night when everyone is sleeping. Is there anyone to make this striving and give up their sleep? May Allah make us among those who pray tahajjud. May Allah make it easy for us to get up. Then, for these people, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُّنْ. So for these people, it's hidden from that which cools the eyes, which no person knows about. No person knows what is waiting as reward for them. No one can really know about this in dunya. As when we talk about the beautiful scenes and how Jannah would be like, we cannot be close to what it really is. Because for us, even these are so beautiful. We try to imagine with them how Jannah will be. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that it is such a place, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ. So doesn't know any soul, any from mankind or jinn. No one knows. مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ. What has been hidden from them? مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُّنْ. From the coolness of the eyes. In one place it is mentioned that in Jannah, Allah has made such things that no eyes have seen, nor ears ever heard, nor any thought about it past anyone's heart. Not anything anyone can imagine. That is something beyond our imagination. While every person has some sort of concept of Jannah and can imagine according to their knowledge about Jannah, but we must remember that this is beyond our imagination. Allah has hidden all that, but why has He hidden it? Because those who go to Jannah used to do good in the world, keeping it hidden from others. Their deeds were not for showing off to others, but did it only for the sake of Allah. They did not tell others about it or advertise it. Many people like to tell other people of all the good that they do. Allah says, this is for those Allah has it hidden. In one narration it is mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever gets the blessings of Jannah will never be taken back. Their clothes will never grow old. Their youth will never decline. For them in Jannah is that no eye has ever seen, nor any ear has ever heard, nor any heart thought about. We cannot even bring in imagination. In a Sahih hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, Musa alayhi salam said to Allah, what is the lowest level of Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, one in the lowest Jannah is who will enter Jannah after all those going to Jannah will have entered it. It will be said to him, enter Jannah. He will say, O Allah, where shall I go? Every place of Jannah is taken. Where should I go? He will be told that would you be happy that for you is as much as a big king of the world possessed. He will say, O my Lord, I am very happy with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, for you is this much and that much more. That much more, 5 times. The man will say, "That is enough, my lord. I am pleased." Allah will say, "I gave you everything, and 10 times more, and whatever else your heart desires and eyes are cooled with. I give you everything." He will say, "My face is smiling and my heart is content." Then Musa alayhi salam asked, "O Allah, if the person going to the lowest level is getting all that, what will be the condition of the person in Jannah in the highest levels?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "These are such people that for their honor and entertainment and hospitality, I have written with my own hands and sealed it. Their hospitality is written by Allah and sealed by Allah, so it did not come in the sight of anyone, nor heard about, nor revealed in any thought. Only Allah knows, and no soul knows of it. What Allah has prepared, it will be a surprise." Sa'id bin Jubair said about those in Jannah that the angels will bring gifts to them from Allah 3 times in a day, which will be according to the day of this world. They will be such gifts that cannot even conceive in their minds. And what messages will the angels bring? "Allah is pleased with you." Allahu Akbar. This matter alone is most pleasing, that Allah is happy with someone. This is a big good news by itself, apart from the blessings of Jannah. The blessings of Jannah are such that it is said, if anyone looks at the ground of Jannah and asks about its dirt, it is of musk and saffron, and its roof is the throne of Allah, and its flooring is of musk, and its stones are pearls and jewels, and its construction is done with gold and silver, and even its trees are of gold and silver, not of wood. Its fruits are grapes and honey, its leaves are so exquisite, and its rivers are of milk, wine, and honey, and the one who drinks it will not feel heavy from it, rather they will enjoy it. Its food is fruits and flesh of birds, and whatever their heart desires. Its drinks are tasneem, zanjabil, and kafur, and its crockery will be of gold and silver. It will be clear like glass and very shiny. The width of its doors will be a distance of 40 years, and that day it will be decreased because of the amount of people entering it. Despite its expanse and width, it will be filled. And from the movement of the leaves of the tree, such beautiful sounds will be heard as music. The shade of trees will extend to 100 years distance. If a horse rider would ride under the shade for 100 years, the shade will not end. And a person in the lowest level of Jannah, his home and palace will stretch out to the distance of 2,000 years. If someone walks that long, it will have tents and domes. Each house of dome will be of 60 miles width. Its buildings will have many stories, and underneath them will be rivers flowing. Their garments will be of silk with threadwork of gold, and their place of sitting will be fancy couches made with fine and delicate silk, and its pillows will be made with embroidery of gold. How beautiful they will be, very beautiful, and their age will be 33 years old. Their height will be 60 feet. They will hear the beautiful songs of women and hear speech of prophets and angels. And Allah will speak to people of Jannah directly. And the rights of people of Jannah will be very unusual. That will take them to far off places. Their jewelry will be gold and adorned with jewels and pearls. There will be young boys to serve them. They will be beautiful, and no one would have ever seen them before. Even if the waiters are beautiful. But what about those that are serving in Jannah? And the biggest blessing will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those in Jannah will be able to see Allah as clearly as they see the moon without any difficulty. So race to the home of Jannah, which no eye has ever seen, no ears have ever heard, nor any heart has perceived. What is the key of that house? La ilaha illallah. And what are the teeth or the ridges on the key? The righteous deeds. Whoever brings a key with these teeth or ridges will be able to open the door of Jannah. The key should have those ridges, that is the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the key must be there as well. But most importantly, they will live there forever. There is no fear of getting out from there. There every person will get the strength to eat, drink and enjoy, equaling 200 men. So how much anyone wants to eat, they can eat. While in dunya, even the most delicious of foods can only eat so much. There will be no urination, stool or periods. Whatever will come out in the form of sweat, from the pores of skin as fragrance. It will have the smell of musk. They will be sitting under the shades with their companions and friends, sitting upon thrones with cushions, as they will be served with all types of delicious foods. It will be said to them, Salamun qawlum min Rabbir Rahim. From their Rabbir Rahim, they will be greeted with salam. Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Qiyamah, Wujuhun yawma izin nadirah, ila rabbiha nadirah. That day they will look to their Lord, and their faces will become radiant and fresh. But when will they get this? Jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun. This is the reward for the deeds they used to do. So can anyone get rewarded without any deeds? No. If a person doesn't do anything, how will they get rewarded? Just as when a person works, only then they get paid and a salary. If someone works even at home, they get paid at the end of the day. But if anyone doesn't do anything and ask to be rewarded, they will not be rewarded. So the Quran tells us, جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No one should be under the wrong impression that even if they don't do anything, they will get Jannah, and that it is for them. No, whoever brings good deeds will be rewarded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that how much sabr they have on the fire. People say, it's okay, we will go to the fire, and do not strive or do good deeds. How can anyone not strive and make an effort to go to Jannah? Then to further remove any misconceptions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. If anyone thinks those who believe and those who cross limits, that they will be considered equal, if a person didn't do any good deeds and was lost in the world, nor did he consider doing good deeds important, will they become equal to those who believe in Allah and the Quran? There is a big difference between the two. Who is fasiq? One who crosses the limits. Which limits? It could mean crosses boundaries of belief, just as a line that gets crossed by a runner. So whoever crosses the boundaries of Iman or faith, where do they end up? In disbelief, in kufr. So one meaning of fasiq is a disbeliever. Also, there is a boundary of righteous deeds. Whoever crosses that boundary then goes into disobedience. We can imagine as if we are walking upon a road and we see a barrier with a sign that says restricted area. And if we say, who are they to tell me this? I am so intelligent, I think I should go in. I don't think this restriction is valid, and I should be there. Why should I follow this? I will go in, and then They reverse the car and break in, crossing the barrier. This is fasiq. Allah has set the limits, and if anyone says, "Who is there to tell me? Who can dare to stop me? My wish, I will do what I want." This is fasiq. Second is one who doesn't cross the barrier and stops, because they follow the rules, and they know they cannot go into the restricted area. They are the ones who say that whatever my sustainer is pleased with, I am pleased with that. I will not go there. These are the boundaries of Allah, and I cannot cross them. I will say, my sustainer has stopped me here, so I stop here. This is a mu'min. There is a big difference between a mu'min, who is a true believer, and a fasiq. Even in this world, there is a big difference between the two, in their actions, their appearance, their thinking, their manners, their temperament. There is a big difference, but in the hereafter, the difference will be far greater. Would they be held equal there? No, they will not be held equal. So we can take fasiq to be a disbeliever, or those who call themselves Muslims. In them is one who obeys and the other who disobeys. In Surah Jathiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, whoever did bad and evils, do they think they would be considered same as those who believed and did good deeds? This should be enough to remove any misconceptions. We all want Jannah and have the desire to go to it. But think, even if we don't do anything, we will be treated equally with those who strive and do good works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies this again and again in the Quran. In Surah Sa'ad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Or we will make those who believe and do righteous deeds, like those who spread corruption in the earth. أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Or we will make those who are pious like those who are wicked. In Surah Hashr, Ayah 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. Are not equal companions of the fire and the companions of Jannah. They are not equal. Their living is not the same. And Akhirah will be even more different. Ashabul Jannati humul faizun. Companions of Jannah are the successful ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sa'a ma kanu yahkumun. How bad is the judgment you make, thinking that they are both the same. In Surah Al-Qalam, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَنَّجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Will we make the Muslims, one who submit, like the one who is a criminal and doesn't take heed? مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. What is with you? How do you decide? This is not done in this life of this world, either. If there is a student who studies and works hard the entire year, would they get the same grade as one who is a failing student and doesn't study at all? We would all agree that this is not fair. If they are graded equally, then how can it be the person who strives in this world and works hard to please Allah would be considered the same as one who was a disobedient person? Then why would anyone need to work hard? This world is like a market. Here man is bargaining with success and loss. And in the market of the world, there are some who give up their life and wealth, but do not give up their faith. Then there are those who barter their faith. They sell their faith. And Allah has a sight on every seller. One who is living on interest, and another living in a halal earning. Apparently, it doesn't look that one is eating bread from the interest became bitter, and one who is eating halal, his bread will be sweet. It doesn't happen like that. But those who obey and do not obey are not the same. will Allah hold them equal? There is one who doesn't even have money for his child's medication, and then there is another whose children are going to Europe on vacations. Will they be considered the same? Does the Quran say that those who do good works and those who do bad will be the same? One who curses and one who makes dua or supplication to Allah would be the same. There is one who wakes up at night and the other who sleeps without any remembrance for Allah. Would they be considered the same? The one who drinks alcohol and the other who gets up to pray tahajjud, will they be considered the same? One who keeps his gazes lowered and one who looks at the unlawful, would they be considered the same? Will the woman who covers up and another who goes around without covering, will Allah hold them equal? The ears who listen to music and the others who listen to the Quran, will He hold them equal? A person who is truthful and the other who lies, will they be considered equal? Show proof that they will be considered the same or equal. From where do they judge? The shaitan keeps on consoling us, telling us nothing will happen, even if we don't do anything. All is well. Where is this written? That obedient and disobedient will be the same. We cannot be deceived by shaitan. In this world, truth and lies happen, and we'll think those who cover and don't cover are the same, as they live together in the same city, same country, and even in the same house. And those who eat halal and haram can be living together next to each other. But in the hereafter, the outcome will be different for both of them. Every deed of a mu'min, their nights, their days, their dealings, their spending, their entire life is submitted to Allah. And the fasiq, who crosses all limits, are they living satisfied, thinking they too will go to Jannah? Allah is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, but Allah also does justice. This ayah removes many misconceptions and is an eye-opener. Those who desire Jannah should see that a price has to be paid for it. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما يؤمن بآياتنا الذين إذا ذكروا بها خروا سجدا وسبحوا بحمد ربهم وهم لا يستكبرون تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا ومما رزقناهم ينفقون فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون